Before anyone can lay hold of the healing that Jesus Christ provides, there are a few things that they need to do to receive what Christ freely gives. The first thing we need to do is to wipe away from our minds all the uncertainty that God does not heal anymore. Hebrews 13 tells us Jesus Christ is the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. But some people say, oh, but he changed. He used to heal, but he doesn't heal anymore. That is false doctrine. And we have been in a series, as you can see, every time we have Holy Supper, about every other month, I've been, for the last year and a half, talking about healing. Is healing for everyone? And I've been trying to give examples of Christ healing people and going through the New Testament doctrines of healing. And I think most people believe in healing, they just don't know how to pursue it properly. And so today I'm going to try to help you understand that just because Christ provides something, he doesn't just drop it on your lap. You have to go after it. You get those things that you seek, right? Like, seek ye first, CNN and Fox News, and all these godly blessings shall what? Is that what it says? See, a lot of Christians think they can seek anything they want in their life, and when they show up, God's got to give them McDonald's drive-thru, bam, right now, and if it doesn't happen, it must not be God's will. Nothing is further from the truth. We have to understand, last time I preached on having a steadfast faith, which means you don't have one faith today and then tomorrow and then Tuesday and then Wednesday. No, it's a steadfast faith. And today I want to talk to you about activating your faith for healing. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have all the faith in you that you need to receive a healing from Jesus Christ. But you have to pursue it. You have to activate it. That's on you. And that's on me. The Bible says you have a part to play. Let me give you a couple things. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, that activate their faith, that seek him, that pursue him. Not just squeeze him in once a week, and if he's there, he's there. If he's not, whatever. That is why some don't get healed, because they're not actively pursuing him with the faith. And so today we're going to look at a little scripture, and then we're going to go through some things that you and I can do to guarantee the healing that Jesus Christ purchased on the cross. Amen? Something we got to do. So why don't you stand up? We'll change our positions a little bit. And notice this passage in Mark's gospel that the leper is seeking Jesus. All right? He is searching him out. He's got something in his heart and in his mouth. Remember that. Your heart is connected to your mouth. Your mouth is connected to your heart, whether you realize it or not. Now, a leper came to Jesus imploring him, right? Not passive, active. Kneeling down to him and saying to him, if it is the will of God to heal me, you can heal me. This leper answered the question that everyone asks. Is it still the will of God to heal? If you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand, touched him, and said what? I am willing. And if Jesus did it for one, he can do it for what? Is it God's will that everyone get saved? Does everyone get saved? Is it God's will for everyone to get healed? Does everyone get healed? Is it God's will to deliver everyone from an addiction? Does everyone get delivered? We need to find out the difference. Amen? We need to find it out. And as soon as Jesus had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Amen? So, Father, we come to your word today. Your word is truth. Your word is life. They contain the words, Jesus, that you spoke. I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be open and our ears would be attentive and our eyes, that which we see, would go down into our spirits and would find good soil today, soil that the seed would grow and bring forth fruit that would remain, not passive, but active faith, we ask in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 You may be seated, please. Going to talk to you about your part and my part of activating our faith. And though the theme today is activating your faith for healing, it can be answered prayer, it can be deliverance, it can be for another job, it can be for the next car, it can be for the next open door for a job, it can be for a relationship. Whatever you need, God has provided. 2 Peter 1:3-4. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Everything you need in life and godliness, according to 2 Peter 1:3-4, right here, it's yours. But you have to pursue it. You have to seek it. And you have to activate it. So let's get in. This is a little bit of a review from my last sermon on steadfast faith. But the first thing that we do to move, I believe God heals, which is passive faith, to I believe God can heal me, which is active faith, is the revealed word of God must be planted as a what? As a seed in your heart. You are the steward of your heart. And you decide what goes in your ears, your eyes, to into your heart, and you decide what doesn't. You with me? Now we're in different seasons. We have some young people today, and they're in school, and a lot of theirs is educational stuff that they're seeing and hearing and getting in their heart so they can get a good education, finish high school, get a bachelor's, whatever, get a good job. That's what's going in their ears and they're in their eyes and into their hearts. But as followers of Jesus Christ, our seed is supposed to come from the Word of God. Jesus said the seed is the Word of God. Talks about that in Mark 4, Luke 8, and Matthew 13 in the parables of the soils. Remember that, the parables of the soil? The seed is the Word of God. Now, you've got to get this Word in your heart so that you would believe. Because no one gets anything from God because they're crying. No one gets anything from God because they just went through a divorce. No one gets anything from God because they got unjustly fired. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must what? Believe. That's how you get things from God. Not a broken heart or anything like that. You've got to believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that seek. Seek. Can't take time off. You don't take a vacation from God. You constantly believe. And I'm going to give you an order that you need to understand in order to grow into a Christ-like disciple. It's always believe before receive. It's always believe before receive. Don't be a Thomas and think you've got to see before you believe. Because that is not a good recipe for receiving things from God. Jesus says, Thomas, you believe because you saw. But more blessed, in John 20:29, more blessed are those who believe and don't see. You believe first, and then you see. So this is how we get healing. Number one, we find scriptures in the Bible. And by the way, I've given a whole lot of them today in your outline and behind me, where you can put them in your eyes, in your ears, down into your heart, And I suggest you memorize them. Meditate on them. If you can't memorize them, read them over and over and over. A good A-plus trick is you always study something three times to get it from your head to your heart. I took a course, how to get straight A's. And the thing is, you always go over things in threes. Threes and threes and threes. That's how I memorize scripture. Three, three, three. Remember that. And then, once you get it in your heart, you go and have someone pray. If anyone's sick among you, James 5:16. If anyone is sick among you, let him call for the elders of church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord will raise them up. And if they are sick because they committed sin, sexual sin, lying sin, greedy, covetous sin, they shall be forgiven and healed. Some healing is because of sin, but not all healing is because of sin, right? Sometimes it's because little Mickey brought home the classroom flu from grade 3 and shared it with the rest of the family. I remember those parenting days. Sometimes it's not sin, it's just life. It's just life. And so we have to believe first. We have to put the seed in here, and then we pray the prayer of faith. The problem is people say, Pastor, come up and pray for me. Come up and pray in the name of Jesus. Oh, I don't feel nothing. I got to go. See you later. Got a football game. What's the issue? No seed in the heart. I wanted to receive before I believe, not believe and receive. And they rush out there and they say, well, I don't know if healing's for everybody because I didn't seek God. I didn't do my way. And my experience outtrumps the Bible and everyone else, right? You hear people talk like that? That don't work for me. Well, did you do it the biblical way? Very important. No farmer goes into his farm fields and looks at the field and says, I think I will not plant any wheat this year and will expect a harvest. Called the natural laws of sowing and reaping. Yet, we have some crazy Christians that say, I think I will not plant any of the imperishable seed of God's word in my heart, and I will expect a healing. If you think the farmer is a little off his kilter because he didn't plant the seed, which is perishable seed, what makes you think a Christian can get away with the same illogical thinking? It is the word that heals you. He sent forth his word and it healed them. Too many people, they don't understand the function of the Holy Ghost. And they think they can just do holy, holy, Holy Ghost without the word of God. Can I tell you? The Holy Ghost wrote this book. He wrote this book. And they go together. They go together. So we got to get it planted. How do you plant it? You read the Bible. You come to church like you're doing. You listen with your ears. Read. You look at these things. You listen to the Bible. You memorize it and get it in your heart. Amen? The second thing you need to understand is that the planted seed in your heart, the Word of God, if you plant it correctly, will give you an attitude against sickness. An attitude. How many of you just love it when cancers take your loved ones premature? Tuberculosis, multiple sclerosis. No. When you get the word of God in you, you get an attitude against sickness. You hate it. And you hate it more when it affects your family. That's when you know the seed is germinating in your heart. You hate when our government is lying to us. Because you hate sin. You hate when people live an ungodly lifestyle and they flaunt it in the streets. Because you hate sin. You also should hate sickness, right? Should you not hate sickness like sin? When the Word of God is planted in your heart, you begin to hate the things you used to love when you were not a follower of Jesus Christ. How many with me? And whatever disease affects your family, I don't care what it is, there are many to go around. Maybe it's alcoholism. Maybe there's addiction or, you know, cancers, different types of cancers. That's the thing you hate. And let me tell you something. There is a hate that God loves. There is a hate that God loves. And it's a hatred towards sin. It's a hatred towards sickness. Very important. Jesus' death on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection, not only purchased for us the forgiveness of sin, but it purchased for us healing. So many today are trying to separate forgiveness from healing. How many know Jesus preached the gospel and he healed what? The sick. He did it together. Here's one of the ones that I've memorized. This is a good scripture for you to memorize. Those of you that pursue healing. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on a tree, the cross, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. And here's the part, by whose stripes you were. What does the were mean? 2,000 years ago on the cross, your healing was purchased. You don't ask God today for something tomorrow. You ask God today with active faith to lay hold of what he gave you 2,000 years ago. How many are with me? How many never saw that before? Were healed. I thank you that you already healed me, but now I need to get that manifestation from the word into my heart, into my flesh. So that's the first thing we need to understand. There are one, two, and three. First, you read the promise of God of healing. Second, you believe the promise. And then third, you receive. And there's sometimes a timeline between believing and receiving. You don't cast away your faith. Get it in you. Listen to the pastor. Listen to online, you know, preachers who believe the gospel of Jesus Christ includes healing. It includes healing. See how the apostles did it. Let me give you another scripture. Therefore, I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, first, what? And then, second, some of you got it backwards. And you're not getting anything because you're trying to receive, but you got no seed in the heart to believe. You believe the promises of the Word. Some of you are trying to go straight to the Holy Ghost, but you got nothing planted in the heart. That's not how it works. You read, you believe, and then you what? Then you receive. You see the order? You've got to get the order. Active faith, believe, receive. Believe, get it in my heart. It may take time. It may take a lot of time. But you keep pushing. Let me give you another scripture. Paul was writing, I think Paul wrote Hebrews. People argue, but I just think it has some similar theology. And whoever wrote Hebrews, he says to these Hebrew Christians who active faith was becoming passive. Their active faith was going backwards from believing to receiving. They were not receiving, and so they stopped believing. And so the author here writes, therefore, do not cast away your confidence in the Word of God, in the promises of God, because you believe first and haven't received yet. Some of us believe, and we don't receive, and then we just give up. Don't give up. For you have need of what? Patience, perseverance, endurance. So that after you've done the will of God, what is the will of God? Believe first, receive second. You may receive what? Whatever it is, if it's healing, it's healing. If it's answered prayer, or you fill in the blank. Deliverance, new job, new car, raise, open door, God's direction down to Tennessee. Whatever it is, don't cast away your confidence. Hang into it. Hang on there. Commit to it. Amen. Hebrews goes on. We desire that every one of you in the sound of my voice here on online, that you show the same diligence, fortitude, seeking, go after it, bulldog faith, to the full assurance of hope until the end, receiving the promise of healing, that's what I'm talking about, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those in the Bible who through faith first what? Believed, and then received, and with patience inherited the promise. Amen? Lots of patience. You inherit the promise. God help us to understand that. Now, let me give you an example of this. How many remember Jonah and the whale? Jonah and the whale. Jonah disobeyed God, got thrown overboard, and a big fish came and swallowed him up. How many days and nights was Jonah in the whale? Jesus said, for as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, 3 nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. Let me ask you something. Do you think Jonah waited to the third day to pray to ask God to deliver him? Or did he pray as soon as he got in there? And after he prayed 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale, stinky, smelly fish, the acids of the big fish devouring everything, devouring him, put yourself in Jonah's shoes. What did he have to do for 3 days and three nights before he received? Believe. And we get upset because pastor slapped a little oil on our forehead and we didn't get it right away. You have need of patience. Jonah waited 3 days and three nights believing. And after 3 days and three nights, he received. And the greatest revival that ever happened in the Old Testament broke out. Over 100,000 people repented. Just amazing. And this is what he said, probably on the first day of being in the fish. He said, I will sacrifice to you, after Jonah prayed and believed, with a voice of thanksgiving, while I wait to receive. Wait a second, there's a key there. There's a key to helping us keep believing before we receive. What's the key? Thanksgiving. Not griping. Not complaining. But thanksgiving is a secret of keeping your believing going before you receive. And if we gripe and complain, our believing may go to doubt, fear. Do you think Jonah had to deal with fear in the belly of the whale for 3 days, three nights? Oh, yeah. And he had to battle that. He had to battle it. He says, I will pay what I have vowed, for salvation is of the Lord. 3 days later, the Lord saved him out of the belly of the fish. How many are following what Pastor's saying here? So important. Believe. You got to first read. Get it in you. And once you get it in the heart, then you got to believe, and then you get to receive, amen? God's promises. Let's go on to number three. Your attitude towards healing in your life and my life is evidenced by the type of seed that you sow. Now, if you don't ever read the Bible, I can't help you, all right? I'm not even going to talk to you who think you can be saved and never read the Bible, okay? That's like someone joining the army and refusing to shoot a gun. It's like someone joining the Navy and saying, I'm afraid of water. That's the same person becoming a Christian saying, I can't read the Bible. You're missing something, all right? You can't get saved without the Word. It's the Word that saves us. So once you get that in us, then you find scriptures. Then you go after those scriptures of healing, and you keep reading them, and you keep memorizing them, and you meditate them. Every night before I go to bed, I always go through scriptures I have memorized. Right now, I'm going through faith scriptures. I have A, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. B, belief in faith. C, courage in faith. D, the definition of faith, Hebrews 11:1. E, the enemy of faith is fear. I got all scriptures. F, the fruit of faith. Faith is a fruit. G, the gift of faith. H, hindrances to faith is doubt, unbelief. All these things, I go right through it, and I put it into my mind, and I make sure it's in my heart. I sow the seed, and that's what you do. But too many times, we put so much time in the television and other stuff, and we put it in our ears and into our eyes and into our hearts, and then we wonder why life's not going very smooth. We wonder, this isn't the life and life more abundant that I want. And so you have to ask yourself, what's wrong with it here? Something's not right. It's the type of seed that you're sowing. Now, I'm going to tell you the most comprehensive pattern of healing from the wisest man that ever lived. He wasn't the one who had the revelation first, but Solomon gives us the pattern how you can always get healed. If you follow it, comes from Proverbs 4, 20 to 23, and let me read it to you. You will see what I've been teaching. It says, Solomon speaking to his son, probably Rehoboam, and he says, give attention to my words. How? How do you put this word into your life? Incline your what? Do not let them depart from your... Keep them in the midst of your... For they are life to those who find them, and health to all your flesh. They are life to those who find them, and health to all your flesh. Oh, and by the way, if you want life and you want health, you have to guard your heart where the seed goes. Because if you're full of fear and bitterness and all these other things, the seed is going to get choked out. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of your life. Help me with me. Here it is. This is the most comprehensive way to be healed. Right here. Pay attention to my words. How does the words get into your body? Ears, eyes, heart. Ears, high, eyes, heart. And it takes time. It takes time. You may remember a few years ago I did a series on evangelism, and I said in the continent of Africa, when an African would hear the gospel, after three times they get saved. They repent of their sins and they put their trust in Jesus Christ. In the United States, it's nine times because they're just hard-hearted. It takes nine times for an American to hear the gospel before they repent and put their faith in Jesus. Well, if it's nine times to get the gospel, how many times do you think before someone gets healed? Think about that. Think about that. You got to get it in. It becomes health to all your flesh. If your flesh has cancer, if it has tumors, if it's got, you know, anything in your flesh, cirrhosis, anything in your flesh. It is life to those who find it and health to all their flesh. The Hebrew word health means medicine. The word of God, are you following me? The word of God in your ears and in your eyes is life to your flesh and medicine. That's why the pastor reads 8 to 10 chapters of the Bible every day. Every day. I do. I prioritize it. I prioritize every day, a little bit in the morning, a little bit in the afternoon. I'm reading, I'm listening. I go through my scripture memorization, and I'm trying to keep my heart, when I pray, I say, God, keep my heart soft. Lord, if there's someone I need to forgive, help me to forgive them, Lord. Don't let the root of bitterness or the root of the love of money, those are the two New Testament roots that will bring a Christian from heaven to hell, the root of bitterness, which is a lack of forgiveness, and the root of the love of money. You can't love money and you can't hold a grudge. And I'm always checking my heart. Those are the things that clog up your heart. And every week I'm searching and I'm asking God, because I want the word to be life to those who love it and health to all their flesh. Very important. Very comprehensive. Stop focusing on the symptoms. This is another issue with Christians. It's my knee, it's my back, it's my, you know, my head. You have to stop focusing on the symptoms of sickness and focus on the word of God. Believe the scripture, the promise. So many times we believe and then we go, oh, but I feel this. We believe, oh, but this hurts. And it is going to doubt. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally. But let him ask in faith, no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea. And when you doubt, the believing never makes it to what? Receiving. And so we got to fight doubt. What did Jonah fight in the belly of the whale? He fought doubt. He fought fear. He probably fought unbelief, which is the worst of it. Unbelief is a refusal to believe what God says is going to happen in your life. It's not a refusal to believe God. It's a refusal to believe that this is not for you today. That's called demonic unbelief. Who had that? The scribes and the Pharisees. We refuse to believe Jesus is the Messiah, even though we see signs and wonders and miracles. We refuse. That's called demonic. It's unbelief. And when that's in your heart, you're skating on thin ice. Jesus said, you scribes and Pharisees are like your father, the devil. Remember he said that? You're like your father, the devil, an unbeliever. God help us not to be like that. Now, Abraham, let me wrap this up and we're going to prepare our hearts. Abraham received the promise from God that he would have a son in his old age. He had Isaac. God said, I'm going to give you and Sarah a son. 25 years later, from the believing to the receiving, he had to wait 25 years from the believing to the receiving. You with me? What did he do during those 25 years? He thanked God. I'll quote it to you. Romans 4:19-20. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God when he was 90 years old that he could have a child, or 100 years old and his wife was 90, through unbelief. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, thanking God, being fully persuaded at what God had promised he was also able to perform. He believed what God promised and he received when God performed it. You with me? You might want to write that one down. Romans 4:19-20, great scripture on that. Now, how many have heard of John G. Lake? Anyone have heard of John G. Lake? He was a man used mightily of God in the 20s, 30s, and 40s. They have over 100,000 documented healings in Spokane, Washington in the 20s, 30s, and 40s when he was alive. And what he did is he realized back in the 20s, 30s, and the 40s that most people in the church in America just did not have the fortitude or the faith to activate what Christ has given them. So he started these things called healing rooms. Anyone ever heard of healing rooms? So he started up these houses around the nation. And if you were dying, you had, 3 months to live, 3 weeks to live, 3 days to live, and the doctors gave up on you, you would go to one of these houses, which was a healing room. And you would go there, and they would teach over and over the scriptures of healing. And you would hear it. You would read it. You would get it in your heart. And until you believed it, you would walk out healed. 100,000 documented cases, John G. Lake. Amazing. But sometimes they don't get it in the church. They didn't pursue it. They didn't activate their faith. Now, we have a similar thing today. There are still healing rooms today. All they do is pump in your ears, your eyes, and your heart. Scriptures on healing. Scriptures on healing. Jesus died. By his stripes, you were healed. You were healed. You don't pursue something that you already got. You activate it so it can be released. Life and health to all your flesh. Now, today we have something similar called Adult Teen Challenge. How many ever heard of Adult Teen Challenge? Adult Teen Challenge. If you are addicted to some type of an addiction, it can be a sex addiction, drugs, alcohol, or addiction, you go to this place called Adult and Teen Challenge. And what do they do to you there? Study the Word. Memorize the Word until you get the deliverance from the addiction that you have in your life. And you either leave there on your own because your unbelief or doubt, or you leave there graduate. We have them here every year, right? And when you hear their testimonies are testimonies of deliverance with always the seed of Scripture. You with me? This is how we lay hold. The farmer gets his seed. The farmer puts the seed in the ground. He does not dig it up. What he planted in April, he does not dig up in May. He leaves it in the ground, and when September, October come, depending on what the crop is, he harvests it. You put the seed in the heart. You leave it in the heart. You meditate. You water it. You confess it. Because what's in your heart, Jesus said in Matthew 12, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth. And if you speak fear and doubt and unbelief and I don't think so, what are you doing to the seed in your heart? You're killing it. You're killing it. And so you speak thanksgiving as Abram. You give glory to God before you receive, because that keeps the belief. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe, oh, there's that word again, in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart, man believes in the righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Can you separate your mouth from your heart? How many follow me? So when you get the believing seed in here, you confess. Oh, that's crazy, Pastor. No, it's not. Solomon said it. Solomon is the one who said it. And you just can't let it. You know, Mark, I'm not going to look it up. Mark 4, 26 and 27. Mark 4, 26 and 27. It says that when you plant the seed into the ground, though you sleep day and night, the seed takes root and grows. Though you don't know how it grows, it grows. When you put the Word of God in your heart, even when you're snoring, what's the seed doing? It's growing. Remember that next time your wife wakes you up. You're snoring. Stop it. You're harming the seed. Mark 4, 26 and 27. Even while he sleeps, the Word of God grows. Let me close today. What kind of seed are you putting in your heart? What kind of seed? Well, Pastor, I can't read. Well, listen to it. There are so many Bible apps today that you can listen to the Bible. How many of Solomon said, you can hear it, you can read it. My son, pay attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Put them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them. And medicine to all your flesh, even your big hang, the ingrown toenail. medicine to all your flesh. But guard your heart, because out of it comes all the issues of life. You have to protect that heart. And when you do it, you will have active faith. It's not enough to have passive faith in the kingdom of God. It's the active faith that gets the prayer answered. It's the active faith that gets the deliverance. It's the active faith. God even said this to Joshua before Solomon was ever born. He said, Solomon, you want to have a successful life? Remember your mouth and your heart. Your mouth and your heart. What you put in your heart comes out of your mouth. He said, this book of the law, what's he talking about? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Keep reading it. Keep speaking it. Keep confessing it. But you shall meditate on it. Oh, what's that got to do? You shall meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. After you what? Speak, meditate, speak, meditate. He said the same thing. The blessings of God. But there's an order. Believe, receive. Believe, praise, thank God. Don't gripe, don't fear, don't doubt. And remember, it probably won't take you 25 years like it did Abraham. Last scripture, you might know this one. Because when you pursue God and do the believing, praising, thanking, glorifying God while you wait for the receiving, then God promises this. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It shall not return to me void. How many know that's a good promise to hang on to? You find a promise in God's word, and God says, my word will not return to me void, but it will accomplish what I please, and it will prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Isn't that good? It may take time, but sometimes you got to get a little attitude. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. It's a good start. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. God says, good. Remember that Syrophoenician woman who had a child that was possessed? And she walked all the way from Phoenicia down to Jerusalem to find Jesus. And what did she get? She got a cold shoulder from Jesus. Do you think someone who walked as far as she walked was going to let a cold shoulder turn her belief into doubt and fear and unbelief? Oh, no. Jesus, get rid of this woman. She's a Gentile. Racism, prejudice. Jesus didn't even answer him. Jesus, get rid of her. Get rid of her. Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on my daughter. She's vexed with a demon. Needs deliverance. Jesus says, it's not right to give the Jews the bread and toss it to the Gentiles. Would you get mad if Jesus called you a dog? Would that mess up your belief? She said, even the puppies get the little crumbs under the table. And he said, oh, great is your faith. You didn't let some little offense send you packing, cop an attitude. Well, I never. Who's he think he is? The Son of God? What the? Where? And she got what she came for. And she wouldn't leave. She had the right seed. She believed and she received. Amen. Bow your heads as we prepare for the Holy Supper. Father, we thank you that all that we really need is provided. Sometimes We skip through the Bible so quick we forget. There is a pattern that you ask for. There was a pattern to come into the Old Testament tabernacle. No one could run into the Holy of Holies. There is a pattern in the New Testament as well, not to frustrate us, but Lord, to help us lay hold of those things that you want us to have, that you died on the cross for us to have. So as we confess our sins today and partake as the family of God around this communion, forgive our sins and give us that act of faith to receive what we need. We ask in Jesus' name, and everyone said amen, amen and amen. I'm going to ask Pastor Roger and Kofi, Maria and Gino, if you would come down and help me today as we prepare our hearts. In this church, if you're visiting, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you understand his death, burial, and resurrection, you're welcome to partake of this with us. If you're still seeking, not sure about Jesus, we would just ask that you observe. And what we're going to do is we're going to serve everybody. We're going to have everyone get up in just a minute, and then everyone will go back to their place, and then we're going to bless it, and we're going to partake together. But before we do, let me hand these out. Those of you that are visiting also, we have the all-in-one communion. If you don't want to touch it, over here on my left and over here to the right where Roger is, you can also take that, and it has in it both the cracker and the cup. Amen. Amen. Why don't you stand up? You can stand up and you can exit to the right side of your pew and go back into the left side, come down, and you can partake, and then go back if you would. And which Jesus was betrayed, it says that he took the bread and he broke it in half. And he said, "This body is broken for you." I truly believe the broken body really is for our healing. If the blood forgives us of our sin, why did he need to have his body broken? I believe it was broken for us. Amen. So let's pray and let's thank God for what he's done for us. Amen. So Father, right now we thank you that you so loved us, you sent your only begotten Son, who obeyed you, surrendered, Lord, in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing what was coming. And Lord, he allowed his body to be brutalized for our healing. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you'd stretch forth your hand and heal people today, because you already did it for us. Help us, Lord, to activate our faith, Lord God, that you would reward us as your word says. Thank you, Lord God. This is our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake together and thank him in the quietness of your heart. And it says, after supper, he took the cup and he says, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood." New covenant. Aren't you amazed that God had you born in the greatest of all the covenants? Isn't that amazing? That's something to be thankful for. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Remember this, your past sin, your present sin, and your future sin. The sin you have not even committed yet. That doesn't mean we go out and commit sin, because we know it's forgiven. But though we are sinners saved by grace, he's already provided in the sacrifice. Amen. So, Lord, we lift up our cup to you and we thank you for the forgiveness of sin. You said if we would confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We pray for individual sin, forgiveness. We pray for corporate sin as a church. Family sin, Lord. Have mercy. Have mercy. Pour out your grace and forgiveness. And Lord God, let that grace lodge deeply in our hearts that we would be known as a people of forgiveness. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Let's partake together and thank him. If you would pass the cups to the end of the hall, the brother are going to come back. Cindy, if you come down and join me, and Pina, if you would come down, please, and join Pastor Roger. You can continue to play. Move to a time of the laying on of hands. If anyone has a need, it might be healing, it might be something else. But if you would come down and believe, we will pray the prayer of faith with you. And the Lord will answer that prayer, whatever it is. Gino, you would come join me too, and you can pray as well. So if anyone has a need, they need prayer, would you come? And we would be happy to pray for you. Amen. Before we go today and conclude, I just want to share a quick testimony with you. When I was young, before I knew there was a call of God on my life, the devil knew there was a call on my life before I did. And so he would attack me. And of course, that's what he does. He attacks when people are young. And I would always have a lot of nightmares and dreams of werewolves and terrible, and didn't know until I got a bit older and I realized it was nothing but a demonic attack on me. So for years, this happened to me. And then one day when I realized what was happening, I began to battle it. And I used to say I had 49% faith, 51% fear. But there came a time when my faith went to 51% faith and 49% fear. And as you can tell, I hate fear. I hate fear on people. I despise it because it's something that attacked me. You with me? And when I can sometimes feel when fear is on someone, it comes over my heart and flutters. It didn't with you, though, Rachel. But remember that. Even when you struggle with something, there comes a time when you come to the knowledge of it and you fight and you keep fighting. And then you get over it where you're no longer in the minority, but now you're in the majority. And you keep believing. No matter how long it takes to receive, you keep believing. Amen. Amen. Stand up and let's close in a word, and I will bless you. Father, we thank you, Lord. It's been good to be in your house today. And now, Lord, I bless your people. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up your countenance and increase your faith and give you the right love towards things and the right hatred towards things. And make you more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. 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 God bless you.